That same fear, the human ego, which was once a great tool when human life was mainly centered around animalistic activities, is not needed now as much as it used to be. And now, in this present moment in time, I choose to be curious, and I choose to look inward with the energy of love, compassion, and non-judgment for myself, to determine for myself if parts of my ego are an outdated impediment from an outdated paradigm for my higher growth. I choose to look at all of my ego this way without any labels or shame, for I cannot heal that which I purposefully deny, am not aware of, and cannot see. Welcome to Real Reiki, Real Life, Real Spirituality, a podcast radio show that has raw, authentic, real discussions on personal growth, real life, Reiki, healing, spirituality, and sometimes anything in between. It is my hope and intention to inspire and weave unity, healing, love, peace, acceptance, non-judgment, and hopefully wisdom into all the lives who listen to this show. If you would like to be a guest on the show, or if you would like to schedule a distant healing session, please contact us on our website at realreikirealife.com. I am Patricia Keene, ready to love, inspire, and serve you today.
Hey everyone, welcome! The topic of today's episode is Ego is Not a Bad Word, Redefining and Working with the Human Ego for Personal Growth and Transformation. Now, you might be saying, but we've been taught that the ego is a bad thing, and I do not want anything bad to remain a part of my personal development and spirituality, nor in the Reiki sessions I give or receive. No thank you, Patricia. I don't want to listen to that. All right, you guys, please bear with me though, and have an open mind to find out what this exactly means. Now, I'm wondering if you're intrigued, and if you are, please listen on, whether you are a Reiki practitioner, into personal development, into spirituality, or not. There is something for everyone in this episode, and as most topics on this show, we will delve into the deep, complicated subjects of life, spirituality, and Reiki, and this episode is no different. And as always, I invite you, if something said here in this podcast does not resonate with you, please look inward and understand that I can only come from a place of my own experiences and wisdom, and I may not be able to present all points of view in this episode. So as always, please take what resonates and leave what does not, because my truth is not always the same as your truth. Okay, so the ego is a hot topic these days in the personal development, psychology, and spiritual communities. And it can mean many things for different circles and in different areas of life. Or the very definition can even vary from human to human. Whether you identify as spiritual or not, the ego is a hot topic these days. And for purposes of the scope of this podcast, we will talk about and redefine for anyone listening, whether you are a Reiki practitioner or not, how the ego shows up for us in personal development as well as our spiritual lives. And we're going to discuss how to give and receive Reiki with your ego working for you and not against you. With that said, the first half of this podcast will be spent discussing the ego, defining exactly what it is, and why, due to much evidence out there to the contrary, we cannot ever be free of the ego while in this physical human existence. The second part is much shorter and is going to be devoted to my Reiki practitioner listeners as we discuss why it is not possible to give or receive Reiki without the ego. Are you still intrigued? Well, if you are, listen on. Okay, before I get into that, If you are a Reiki practitioner and would love to support this podcast, please check out my website at realreikireallife.com and click on classes, and then click on online classes to find my online certified or non-certified version of vibrational Reiki sound healing, where you can learn how to combine Reiki and sound healing with tuning forks during Reiki sessions that you give to others and to yourself. And as a limited time special bonus, I am offering the following as free for this course. So you'll receive free instructional online video and written instructions on basic sound healing using quartz crystal singing bowls. You'll also get free instructional online video and written instructions on sound healing using the healing frequencies of drumming. You'll also receive free chakra affirmations and mantras for each chakra, as well as the most useful crystals and essential oils to use with each chakra as a complementary addition to your sound vibrational Reiki healing sessions. So if you are interested, please check out that class and many others in the future at realreikireallife.com and click on classes, then online classes. Okay, so now that we've got that out of the way, before we delve into the hot, deep, and complicated topic of ego, I want to put it out there that I am not anti-ego, and my personal teaching on the ego is it's part of our human experience, and it's not something that we can just set aside or transcend while in this human form and existence. And as you will learn in this episode, the human ego is built into the very fabric of who we are. And we were born and blessed with it by the universe to use it in ways that are healthy for us and others. So you'll probably remember if you've been listening for a while that I have talked about the ego in previous episodes. So if you are new to this channel, welcome. I'm glad you're here and I'm glad you found us. But to summarize, we are all born with egos. It is part of who we are and our human existence. And in many ways, the ego can serve us. And in many ways, it can disempower us. And I think we can all think of ways in which our ego can disempower us. But let's describe today how we can tame the human ego and use it in a healthy, empowering way while giving, receiving Reiki, and in our normal, everyday lives. While I personally believe it is possible and desirable to tame the ego to serve us in mostly healthy ways, it is not possible to get rid of or transcend the human ego while in this human form. And why do you think that is? I believe it's because it is built into who we are as physical human beings and what we were meant to, and we were not meant to destroy or transcend the human ego, but to work with it. We are meant to understand how it shows up for us and take the measures needed to be mindful of how we can tame it into something healthy and productive. Okay, I can hear all the collective gasping out there. And perhaps you're saying something like, Patricia, are you off your ever-loving bloody rocker? The ego cannot be healthy. Well, I invite you to stay tuned and to listen with an open heart. Because yes, you bet the ego can be healthy. It can be if you can redefine what you have been conditioned to believe what the human ego is. So right now, I want you, or actually I should say, I invite you to think of someone telling you, you have an ego. Okay, so if I were to say that to you or someone else, you have an ego, what does that mean for you? What feelings come up? What does that invoke for you? If you can, take a moment now to jot down or just take a mental note of what that means for you or what comes up for you. Perhaps your first reaction was one of ego, and an immediate defensive wall comes up. If that's what happens, or happened, that is okay. Many of us have been taught and conditioned by society, and even in certain spiritual circles, to believe that the human ego is something to transcend, to destroy, or that it is bad. We were taught it is something we can get rid of, and that we need to get rid of it. Essentially, your reaction in response to being told you have an ego depends on who is saying this to you and to whom it is being said. In other words, it depends upon the ego definition that both parties have in their own personal minds. Now, I'm going to just say that again because it's really important to understand that your reaction depends upon the ego definition. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. Your reaction in response to being told you have an ego depends upon the ego definition that both parties have in their own personal minds. And to better understand this concept, let's look at the definition of ego from dictionary.com. And dictionary.com says, the ego is noun, and the plural form is egos. The I or self of any person, a person as thinking, feeling, willing, and distinguishing itself from the selves of others and from objects of its thought. And then it goes on to say, the psychoanalysis definition of ego is the part of the psychic apparatus that experiences and reacts to the outside world and thus mediates between the primitive drives of the ID and the demands of the social and physical environment. So that's kind of maybe a little of a complicated way to say, or a harder to understand way of what the ego is. So to sum it up simply, it is basically saying that the ego operates from how we identify ourselves, and it operates from the social and physical environments that we come from. I personally like this definition because it does not cast any blame or judgment on the human ego. And as we all know, blame and judgment do come from the ego, and many of us don't even know that we cast that on ourselves. And to shift gears into a different perspective, a popular spiritual website out there comes from the following angle about the ego. And I want to present this view for consideration because this is how most of us who have chosen a spiritual path were taught. And I quote from this popular website, which I'm not going to name. It says, quote, in day-to-day conversation, having an ego may mean any of these things: being egotistical, self-centered, proud, overbearing, shy, having a grandiose sense of self, or many other such things. And then it goes on to say, interestingly, in reality, you may not have these qualities within you. It all depends upon the perception of the other person. It may be that it is their ego they are subconsciously projecting upon you and observing the ego traits within you. So if you think of the dictionary.com definition, it kind of says the same thing, but in a different way and in a different language, if that makes sense. So with that, can you see here how ego definition is a very deep and complicated affair? And the website also goes on to say the meaning of ego in spiritual circles. And I quote, although similar to the definition of ego, there are some other associations with the term ego when we consider it from an esoteric point of view. Spiritually, ego is the veil of individual personality that bars you from having a universal existence. It is because of our ego that we get the perception of separation from other beings, the universe, and God. Also, the separation by ego is the root cause of all sufferings in the world. End quote. And I want to say that they are absolutely correct in this. Our ego can give us that perception of separation from other beings, the universe, and God, if you resonate with the word God. Also, as it mentions, the separation by ego is the root cause of all sufferings in the world. The separation by ego does make it so that when we feel separated from our fellow human beings, our fellow brothers and sisters, that we forget that others have the same feelings, wants, and desires as we do. And then we operate out of a place of forgetting that and being disconnected from other people. And sometimes that can show up in very unhealthy ways towards ourselves and towards others. So they are absolutely correct in that. However, it does go on to say that, quote, there are people who would say that having some ego traits are good for life, such as fear, which biologically evolved as a survival mechanism to save us from dangers. But is this really so? That same fear, which comes from the ego, was once a great tool when human life was mainly centered around animalistic activities, and it is now just an impediment for higher growth, as we are mostly aware of physical dangers now. And this same ego drive makes us greedy, jealous, and blind to all the other aspects of life. End quote. Okay, so now we're going to get into the juicy, juicy, juicy. And I want to discuss where it says that, quote, the same fear is now just an impediment for higher growth, as we are mostly aware of physical dangers now. So with that, I would like to present and reframe this sentence from a different perspective. Yes, we are mostly, and the key word here is mostly, aware of physical dangers now, and the need for the human ego to operate as it once did is definitely no longer needed. But I want you to remember that it said, the ego is now just an impediment for higher growth, as we are mostly aware of physical dangers now. Okay, so I personally do not resonate with that last sentence. Is that the ego is an impediment for higher growth because we're mostly aware of physical dangers now? And here's why. By labeling the human ego and saying it is an impediment for higher growth implies that we have, that if we have any sort of ego, we are impeding our growth. By even saying we are impeding our growth, it casts an energy of, let's get rid of it pronto. I don't want it. I don't want anything to impede my growth. Do you see how this creates an energy of something to be feared or gotten rid of? When you think of the context and definition this website is coming from, it is actually coming off as fear-based. And the popular belief that anything fear-based comes from ego. And then what can happen is, after reading that on the website, we can then go on to purchase the expensive class on the website to hurry up and try to learn, often fruitlessly, how to get rid of our ego and cast it aside at all costs. You know, we may even believe we are doing great work when we perceive ourselves as conquering the human ego and casting it aside. But then comes the day when very hard trials hit, or something else that helps us realize we have our ego intact still. And that can produce even more shame. And then we might even ask ourselves, why can't I be like the teacher who taught me this? What is wrong with me? I must not have done this the right way. And when we feel like we didn't do something the right way, we feel sometimes like we need to hide that part of us because now everyone will perceive us as unenlightened because we haven't learned how to transcend the human ego as we were taught in this class. And because that is the popular belief in some spiritual circles. And most of us don't want to be perceived that way, and that's totally understandable. And because we don't want to be perceived that way, we can then don a mask out of shame and try to hide the fact that our ego is still intact. So nobody will ever learn our perceived dirty little secret. We might even then scramble to sign up for another class or a series of one-on-one sessions by the same teacher or maybe even another teacher, who will then proceed to tell you many more ways to transcend the human ego. And then the above shame cycle just perpetuates and repeats itself over again. So I invite you to entertain the idea for just a little while that the ego is not to be feared, nor is it anything to be ashamed of or gotten rid of. I believe it's to be examined with curiosity. Without the shame and judgment we can cast on ourselves and that others might cast on us. And when we can come from a place of curiosity when it comes to our ego, learn to love it, work with it, and see what it has to teach us, it eliminates the fear, the shame, and the judgment we cast upon ourselves and allows us to see the real truth and healing that needs to come, rather than pretending it does not exist. It can prevent us from thinking it can be solved in taking an expensive class by a seemingly enlightened, ego-free guru. Aren't one of the main precepts in spirituality and personal development one of non-judgment, love, compassion, and curiosity as to why we and others do the things we do? Why we are the way we are? If that is the main precept, then why would we accept anything as truth if it casts any energy of judgment, shame, and hurt, which is the opposite of what spirituality is supposed to be? Why not learn to love and work with all the parts about ourselves, including our ego? By doing so, it keeps us in the vibration of love and curiosity. And if we can learn love and curiosity in ourselves, then we can by default know how to show up that very same way to others, which makes us an even more effective healer in the long run. To better illustrate this, let's think of someone in our lives, past or present, it doesn't matter, who helped or helps us feel loved, seen, heard, supported, and validated. Take a moment now to think of who that person might be. And then I invite you to feel what you feel in that person's presence. What is it about that person that helps you feel so warm, safe, and loved? What is it about that person that helps you to feel safe? With who you can be who you really are and not have to put on any kind of expected masks to gain their love, acceptance, and approval. Now, if you cannot think of anyone in your life who is like that, that is totally okay. In fact, not many of us are lucky enough to know someone like this because it is sadly a rare human trait that not many have learned or even developed. But for those of you who do not have someone like this in your life, this is an even more powerful teacher for you to learn how to be that kind of person. To learn how to be that kind of person and the kind of healer people will flock to if you have learned those valuable skills of the healer. See, if people are able to feel loved, supported, seen, heard, and validated with you, then we must learn how to practice those very traits within ourselves if we want to show up that same way for others. And what that means is learning to love and accept every part of ourselves, including the human ego. See, it is my opinion that we do still need parts of our ego to help keep us safe and to alert us to danger. And in my opinion, it is how we think or how we act upon that ego which determines if that part of our ego is impeding our growth or if that part needs to be developed into something healthier. In essence, we use our ego to determine how we will act and how we will think about what action to take in the face of danger. You see, it takes the ego, whether we believe we have gotten rid of it or not, to make the decision, no matter what decision we decide to take. To me and my perception and understanding, that means that the need for the human ego to operate as it once did is still there to a certain degree, and it is still needed. There are still parts of us that are not aware and can still fall prey to physical and other dangers. And our ego is there to sort of warn us about that, right? So let's really go inward now and ask ourselves if eliminating our ego, as the website later states, is necessary for our growth and enlightenment. If eliminating the ego will keep us safe when danger appears. And by eliminating the ego, we become not aware of danger. So based on that, do you believe that we can still be alerted to danger if we suppress or deny or eliminate the ego? So according to that website, by virtue of saying that the fear which comes from the ego is now just an impediment for higher growth doesn't really make much sense to me. And in fact, telling ourselves that the human ego is something we want to get rid of or eliminate causes us to fear that which was hardwired for a reason by the universe is ironically coming from a place of ego. See, when we label something as undesirable, it takes the ego to label it that way, right? It's the ego's attempt to keep us safe, which is its job. And according to that quote, the ego attempts to keep us safe. So let's ask ourselves, based on that teaching, how can we come from a place of ego to eliminate the ego? And as I always say, you can't get rid of or fix something with the same energy that created it. And the same thing applies to our ego. And for me, rather than the old quote used on the website of that same fear which comes from the ego was once a great tool when human life was mainly centered around animalistic activities is now just an impediment for higher growth as we are mostly aware of physical dangers now. I believe it should be changed to something more inclusive to who we really and truly are as human beings in this moment in time on planet Earth, ego and all. So with that, I would like to reframe and reword it to say the following, and I quote, that same fear, the ego, which was once a great tool when human life was mainly centered around animalistic activities, is not needed now as much as it used to be. And now in this present moment in time, I choose to be curious and I choose to look inward with the energy of love, compassion, and non-judgment for myself to determine for myself if parts of my ego are an outdated impediment from an outdated paradigm for my higher growth. So I choose to look at all of my ego actually this way without any labels or shame. For I cannot heal that which I am not aware of and cannot see. I cannot purposefully deny that which I am not aware of and cannot see. So, do you see how the entire energy and frequency of the revised statement is one of curiosity, one of growth, love, compassion, and non-judgment? Doesn't the revised quote carry more of an energy of empowerment because we state to the universe that we choose to look inward in love, compassion, and non-judgment? See, The irony in all of this is we need to use our ego, that inevitable human trait that is a part of us, to serve as a great teacher. The parts of ourselves that are impeding our growth are there to serve us because we have to use our ego to determine for ourselves what is impeding our growth. Now, if we eliminate our ego, how on this beautiful earth are we able to determine for ourselves what is impeding our growth? By disabling our ego, by denying our ego, we disable and disempower the very part of ourselves that can be a very powerful teacher and that can be instrumental in our growth. To illustrate this point further, let's think of something in our lives that we decided we wanted to ignore and pretend does not exist. But by ignoring it, we actually caused even more overwhelm and upset to ourselves. So think about that for just a moment. What is it in our lives that we decided we wanted to ignore? This could be past or present, and pretend that it doesn't exist. And yet by ignoring it, we actually caused even more overwhelm and upset to ourselves. You know, I don't know about you guys, but for me, that happens every day with the never-ending pile of laundry, dirty dishes, and other household chores that are a necessity in this human existence. So I can choose to ignore they exist, as I often do. And sometimes I even ignore them more by washing a plate to eat off of until I get sick of having to always hunt through a huge pile of filthy and gross dishes so that I can just wash what I need when I need it to even have a meal. Or heaven forbid, I can always say, fuck it all, and decide to go eat takeout because nothing is clean. So eating takeout would solve the problem of my innate need to feed myself in that moment, but it doesn't actually clean my mess for me. I'm still going to have to come home to that filthy, messy kitchen, and I'm still going to have to one day face that insurmountable pile of mess that I created. The dirty kitchen and dishes will remain until you choose to give it the attention it so desperately needs. And if we choose to ignore them, they only pile up and turn into a huge, overwhelming, seemingly insurmountable mess and a chore that will take hours and sometimes even days to clean up. Cleaning up the huge mess we decided to ignore for a long time then becomes a source of even more overwhelm and upset, and perhaps even shame. It can also cause frustration and pain than if we had chosen to deal with it before it ever became a huge problem. Okay. So I think you probably have figured out now where I am going with this, in that treating our ego the same way, ignoring the mess that our ego can sometimes create, pretending it doesn't exist, does nothing in the long run to serve us and only creates more feelings of overwhelm and powerlessness when the day finally comes, and it does come, that our messy kitchen and if we use our messy kitchen and dishes as an example, then we can't ignore our ego any longer. And one thing I do want to put out there is I am not saying we ignore and deny basic proven things that are unhealthy and might be impeding our growth, such as smoking, eating food with no nutritional value, or abusing drugs, hurting others or ourselves. And that list can go on. It is important that we are not justifying that which is unhealthy as something that is healthy, because deep down inside, we are not yet ready to heal those parts of ourselves. Our ego can disempower us in those ways. And this is why it is so important to be mindful of how the ego shows up in our lives. So let's discuss now, how do we become mindful of the ways the ego is impeding or contributing to our growth? How do we become mindful of that? How do we know? I think that it is something only you can answer for yourself. For me, that means understanding we are beautifully flawed human beings. And we are here on this beautiful planet called Earth, in this very moment in time, to experience all facets of the ego, and realizing that the greatest teacher of all is ourselves. And it means, for me, getting to know ourselves and how our ego is coming into play in any given situation, and how not casting judgment or shame on ourselves when discovering anything in the ego that is no longer serving us. It means understanding the ego as not something to be afraid of, nor is it something undesirable that needs to be gotten rid of. It means, for me, giving the ego a voice, and then curiously examining that voice to see just what it has to teach us. So you're going to need to ask yourself, you're going to need to go inward of ways in which the ego is impeding or contributing to your growth. Don't go off of what I said. I want you to go inward and learn that for yourself. My example was just what I have found for me, and yours may look different from mine. Okay, so now I want to switch gears a little and address how this can show up when we are giving or receiving Reiki. This can show up in many ways that way, because one popular belief out there right now is using Reiki to heal someone sick with the coronavirus. As I'm recording this podcast, we are still in the middle of this crazy pandemic, and there are a lot of people using Reiki to help those sick with the coronavirus, and that is a very noble cause. But the flip side of that is, I don't know about you, but I was taught in all of my Reiki styles that I learned that Reiki can treat and heal pretty much almost anything. And that subject is its own podcast and episode in and of itself. But in short, when we are taught that Reiki can treat and heal anything, it can set up an expectation in our minds, as well as if we tell this to those we give Reiki to, that they will be cured and healed. And what that does is it can set us up for huge disappointment when we give Reiki coming from that energy, and when it doesn't work because it did not meet our expectations. I did do a whole podcast episode on this subject a while back, so I'm not going to really delve into that much more deeply, but perhaps a more realistic way to look at this is Reiki will only go to the highest good, whatever that may be. And the highest good may not actually be, the highest good that we think may not actually be the highest good for the client or ourselves if we're giving Reiki to ourselves. So again, our ego can show up in our Reiki sessions to ourselves and others if we expect it to cure and heal. And the ego can show up when we expect Reiki to do and be what it was not intended to do and be. How we manage the ego is to trust that the universe knows exactly what is needed in that moment in time in your life and in those lives you give Reiki to. And as we know, Reiki has an intelligence that is not filtered by the human ego, and it can see what we may not be able to see. So I do hope that you found this episode meaningful for you in some way. And I do hope that it helped shift your perspective on the human ego so we can learn to live in peace and love with all of the parts of ourselves and those same parts in others, including the human ego. And as discussed, if we can learn to live in peace and love with all the parts of ourselves and those same parts in others, including the human ego, then it all has something to teach us, right? Thank you for joining me today. And with that, I am Patricia Keene, reminding you to always journey in light and serve with love. Namaste. Thank you so much for joining us today. Don't forget to head over to our website, realreikireallife.com, and subscribe there to be informed of all future episodes, schedule healing distance sessions, take an online class, or leave a comment or feedback about the show. Please also check out our YouTube channel under Real Reiki, Real Life, Real Spirituality for free meditations and other fun and inspiring videos. Remember, go in love and peace. Until next time.